Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team.
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter from Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. This is the Victory Monday episode, and yes, I am down here in San Clemente in the Rams Podcast studios with my main man, the myth, the Kroger, James Kroger. James, how you doing, bud?
Dude, I'm happy now. I was pretty stressed out for a while there in the fourth, but doing well, and I'm happy to be back for Victory Monday because last week was not Victory Monday, and I was pretty sad about that.
Yeah, felt a little weird last time, but we're back. This is actually the first game that we've watched together all season.
Yeah.
Maybe this is starting a new streak. You know, we're going to have to get together next game and continue this going. We're back in the win column, but it wasn't for a lack of, getting really scared near the end. It was a very back-and-forth game. The Seahawks fought us well, but they fall to 4-5. Rams improved to 9-1, back in the win column, as we mentioned. Lots to get to here today. Obviously, we had some up and down from the defense. We had Jared Goff. That looked really great. Todd Gurley looked great. Your first kind of instant reaction to the game, we watched together. You were pretty quiet near the end. I was proud of your composure, but talk to me about what was going on in that brain of yours.
Well, I mean, to start off, it was we both scored instantly, so right off the bat, I was a little bit worried about this rush D, but we adjusted at halftime, and we didn't see any rushes after that. But yeah, the offense looked great. Goff's continuing to be consistent and confident back there. He was 28 for 39, 318 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions with 113 passer rating. So he overthrew the ball a couple times, but still, he's consistently looking good and confident back there and really accurate. Todd Gurley, of course, Mr. Reliable, 1 touchdown. He looked really good today. So offensively, we look great. I was absolutely worried about Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
We talked about that all week last week, but he didn't get the ball too much. He was worrying me in the beginning because I saw that he was playing about 8 to 9 yards off of the receiver. Then he would run up. But Russell Wilson was snapping the ball a little early as he was running up, so his momentum had to shift. And fortunately for us, he didn't have too many big plays against him, so Peters looked better, I guess, is to say.
Yeah, and he had a couple plays, a couple tackles. One he made in the open field where me and you both kind of were like, you better get this, buddy!
Oh, yeah.
And he did, and he made a good play out there. He had a couple where penalties were called on him. We thought he had a pick for a second, and you were going to tie your bet right there with Marcus Peters. Ends up being a hold. He was complaining about it, but I think it's pretty true. I think he ended up throwing that football in the stands. I think I saw Lindsay 30 report that he took that ball and threw it in the stands because they were probably coming off the field. But Marcus Peters remains to be Marcus Peters. A little side note that me and you saw in the coverage of the game. A cameraman tried to get a better angle of Marcus Peters to the side and kind of came up. And Marcus Peters kind of felt his presence, looked over to his right. Kind of like, almost did like a Dikembe Mutombo, like, no, and told him to back it up. I thought it was pretty funny that mid-game, right before he's about to go on the field, he's still Marcus Peters.
Yeah, and he's still Marcus Peters that doesn't have great fundamentals, and especially when it comes to tackling. He puts his head down, puts his shoulders into it, but doesn't take advantage of those arms and wrap up too much. So he's not a good tackler, and just some of those fundamental stuff he's still doing wrong. But at the same time, he didn't allow us to suffer too much this game.
Yeah, you pointed out one where he basically came up to lay a big boom, but the boom never really landed, and you're right, he didn't wrap up, so the guy got away, ended up getting a couple extra yards. Some stuff we got to clean up, but overall, for his performance, for as much criticism as he got, I think he did a pretty good job on coverage. Russell Wilson only threw for 176 yards. He was 17 of 26.
One thing that was really upsetting about this game, though, and Sean McVay took credit for this or took ownership of this, was the penalties.
Yeah.
Major suffrage. We had over 100 yards and 10 penalties committed. So that's something that we cannot continue next week in Kansas City. Down in Mexico against Kansas City. So that's something that was actually really scary to see at home today from the defense.
A lot of those were on third downs, you know, extending drives. I think one point you pointed out they had 5 first downs off of penalties on third downs that we had created. and it kept drives alive. A lot of them were mental stuff. It wasn't like, oops, I jumped off sides. It was like, even though that is a mental penalty, but more of like kind of late hits, talking trash to the ref. Fowler got a big one, which he made up for, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But you're right, that mental side of it, you know, McVay took ownership of it, and he's like, that's not how we play. That's not our style of play. Mm-hmm. He likes effort penalties, that's fine, but if you're going to go out there and be an idiot, it's not going to be tolerated on this team. So obviously I'm assuming that's going to be a big point of emphasis moving forward in this matchup we have that's lining up to be a pretty good one down in Mexico City, 9-1 versus 9-1. I want to get to that a little bit later in the show and throughout the week. Guys, remember, don't forget, go give us a follow on Spotify, iTunes. You can find us at Lockdown Rams, Rams Podcast. Me and James are going to be getting back together in a couple days here to release the Rams Podcast, a little bit longer version. Go give James a follow at jkroger3. I'm at LA_ramblingbear. You can find both of us, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Rams Podcast, Lockdown Rams, putting up a bunch of stuff. Go give us a follow, subscribe to the show, share with friends. Welcome to all our new listeners. Victory Friday. Now I'm just ranting, James. I want to talk to you about a couple other things here before we hit to our first break. Our defense struggled at times, like we mentioned, and we had guys that kind of let us down a handful of times. Hill got beat a few times where he's got to turn and look for the ball and make a play. But they came up big at the end of the game. Talk to me about how you felt on that last drive and, you know, what the defense did to really just go ahead and almost win this game.
So really, at the end of the day, we rely on Aaron Donald, who came up and was huge in this game. And, you know, we saw in the beginning that we didn't really know they were running against us and they were getting some of those deep passes against us, burning Troy Hill a little bit. But at the end of the game, they remained reliable, and we had a situation in which Russell Wilson can be scary. And, you know, Russell Wilson at the end of the game can make huge plays happen, and we did not allow that to happen defensively. So I'm really happy to see AD step it up. He was involved with four tackles. Him and Sue were together chasing Russell Wilson down like crazy. It just was really fun to watch. But the one thing about Aaron Donald is your prediction from Lockdown Rams on Twitter, he beat it.
Yeah.
With 2.5 sacks. He's at a career high for the season already this far into the season. So he's just continuing to knock those sacks up and can look really strong for us. So AD, we rely on heavily on defense.
Yeah, over under. I did this with Serena Morales, and we talked about how many sacks for the Rams, and we went over, and Aaron Donald did it by himself. It was pretty awesome. Those first couple were really fun. And then him and Sue actually met at the quarterback, and I believe that was in the fourth quarter to hold them to a field goal, which really helped change the momentum of this game late in the game. Huge play from RD, and they're just so fun to watch up front when they're getting after it. We mentioned penalties and how those were big mistakes. Fowler came up with a big strip sack on Russell Wilson late in the game, which he ended up running down and chasing down and recovering. Aaron Donald kind of helped on that as well. But big plays from the defense when we needed them. We talk about this a lot, right? They give up big plays. They give up yardage. They give up 31 to the Seahawks again. Russell Wilson, although not a huge yardage day, he had 3 touchdowns. They ran the ball all over us. 273 yards of running. 100 of those, 108 of them, came from Rashad Penny, the rookie. And when I was talking with Locked On Seahawks, they weren't even sure how much he was going to get the ball. He bust for 108. Russell Wilson added 92 yards. And that was when Russell really became tough to defend, is when he started using his feet as well. We held him out through the air for the most part. But when he started getting on running, it was big trouble. I expected them to put a spy there, but...
Yeah, and Dante Fowler, so early on, he got that flag because, I don't know, that kind of was a BS call. He was just mouthing off or questioning the ref a bit. But
yeah, I wonder what he said.
I know, he must have said something to...
Not so nice.
...cause that flag. So red flag on you, but he came back with that huge play. And let's talk about the man we've been mentioning all season as well, Corey Littleton, with 9 tackles. And Sue is up there too, with 9 involved in 9 tackles and half a sack. But those guys continue to just look really strong.
Yeah, Littleton had a couple moments. He was another guy that had one of those dumb penalties. He had a roughing the passer where he kind of got blocked and he went low from kind of avoiding the block, but then he took out the legs. You know, that was flagged, obviously, another one of those touchy penalties. That was on third down again as well. And then he got kind of broke down in the hole. I think it was Penny that kind of gave him a shake. But overall, he's stacking up tackles, 9 tackles, 6 solos, and then he had a pass deflect. So he's good in coverage as well. That pass deflect was up on the right-hand side. He really played the ball well on that one. So some good, some bad. We're going to take a quick break, get a word or two from some sponsors. We'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about the offense. We'll do game balls. We'll do play action balls. I think we're safe with the bootleg ball today, but you never know. We got James Kroger on the mic, Bear Motter, Locked On Rams, Monday. We'll be right back after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back.
Victory Monday
episode. We are super excited. 1 week off from a Victory Monday, but we're back. James Kroger is with us from Rams Podcast. Guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Rams Podcast at James Kroger 3. James, we talked about the defense on the other side. I want to flip it over, talk about some offense. We had some great plays. Obviously, Jared Goff had a great game. Todd Gurley, we mentioned. But there was one play that really stuck out in our mind that really hurts moving forward. Cooper Kupp went down with an injury. Mm-hmm. The reports are it's an ACL. McVay said it doesn't look good. He was on your fantasy team. You look double hurt. Talk to me about this, how this injury can impact the Rams moving forward and how they really bounce back in this game.
It was really upsetting to see Kupp go down grabbing his leg because it looked like the same leg that he hurt from the horse collar earlier on in the season that allowed him to go out. Right now, Sean McVay said to the reporters that it does not look good. Essentially, we're waiting on the MRI. I don't know if it's come out yet, but sounds like it's going to be another repeat, probably worse injury for Cooper Kupp on that knee. So one that's, well, fantasy-wise, I was pretty bummed. I think he got about six for me, and there was one play that Goff overthrew him that I really needed earlier on in the game. So, yeah, of course, Cooper Kupp's my favorite receiver, and I'm really sad to see him go down. It's really unfortunate. But what this means for the team moving forward is that we're going to probably see Reynolds back out there.
Yeah.
Maybe Kadarrell Hodge a little bit more, trying to replace him. And like we've said before, you can't run routes like Cooper Kupp, but Sean McVay knows how to utilize Reynolds. Let's not forget that he had two touchdowns last time he was in for Kupp. So, I'm looking forward to see how they can switch it up a bit and utilize Reynolds a little bit more. But it's really heartbreaking to see Cooper Kupp go down like that at home.
Yeah, super heartbreaking. You know, he just got back. We saw the impact that he had, you know, last game. And then really, obviously, the impact he had before he went out. He had five catches for 39 yards. And in those five catches, he had his 100th overall reception as a Ram. That was the one that went for 25 yards. So he broke kind of a personal barrier in his career. But then, yes, he went down. You mentioned it. We'll see Reynolds step in and Robert Woods start to really play a bunch of different positions in that three wide receiver set. Guys did step up. Brandon Cooks, 10 catches, 100 yards. So obviously 10 a catch.
Yeah, and you know one factor of this offense is the route running that Cooper Kupp does is just unlike any other, and that's the reason that he's always open and a favorite to Goff. But yeah, it was really cool to see that Cooks led with 10 receptions, like you mentioned, because typically, you know, the past few weeks he hasn't been one of the leaders with receptions. And then Gurley, who also was our leading receiver, I believe, last game with 89 yards, only had 40 with three receptions here. And Woods actually only had four overall receptions, but did get 89 yards out of it. So it's cool to see Sean McVay utilize Cooks a little bit more. And we didn't really see that jet sweep as much because obviously Seattle showed at the end of the game that they adjusted and were able to stop that. I don't know why throughout that whole game, the only time we used it was pretty imperative play, and we had it tested all game. It was clear that Seattle was ready to stop that jet sweep. So I like that they avoided it and mixed it up, which is maybe part of the reason that Cooks saw the ball a lot more. But yeah, we kind of used it in a weird way at the end.
Yeah, and you know, and you talked about it going to it at the end. We tried it on third down in one of the situations to kind of close the game out. Didn't work, but we also scored. Brandon Cooks, one of his touchdowns came off the corner on one of those little jet little bump passes. Those guys between Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks had four attempts that went for just over about 25 yards. So trying to get the ball down the field in different ways. Robert Woods, as we're talking about him, over 10 weeks just sent a new career high in receiving yards, breaking his previous high of 781. So Robert Woods really stepping it up as far as yardage goes and being that reliable target. Looking at other reliable targets that are slowly becoming more and more important, and I guess as we're talking about replacements for Cooper Kupp and how we can spread the ball around, our tight ends had another great game, back-to-back really good games. They had five receptions on five targets, 35 yards, and two touchdowns. Both Higbee and Gerald Everett cashed in for a touchdown. It was really nice to see on Jared Goff's opening drive. I think he was like 7 for 8, and 3 for 3 to the tight ends, including the touchdown. So again, we got to be super excited about our tight ends continuing to get involved, especially with this injury with Cooper Kupp. Well, we talked about it on the other side, and the penalties were, again, a struggle for us. But we kind of looking at some of the team stats here. We did win it in the turnover battle, which was awesome. We created one turnover. That was a big one with the Fowler strip and recovery inside. Basically, the red zone gave us great position to go and get those really safety points that we needed at the end of this game.
Right. Another stat that stands out to me when it comes to the team is passing yards. We had 307, and the Seahawks only were held to 141, and that really changed up towards the second half of the game as we were able to continue to hold them in the overall over-under passing yards. But rushing, Seattle did look a little bit better than us. Of course, they were – I wouldn't say they held Todd Gurley, because every time he got the ball, he got a lot of yards. But at the same time, he didn't have too much in this game, even though he continued to go with his streak on the touchdowns. But Seattle had 273 yards. I believe I saw a stat during the game that said Seattle is one of the most frequent rushing teams in the whole NFL right now, which is kind of starting to mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think they said something like just over like 51%. They're the only team in the NFL that runs it more than they throw it, and the only team in 50% or more. And they did it. They did a great job, 273 yards on the ground. We're going to have to improve that. We have Kareem Hunt coming up next, and obviously they can throw it, they can run it, so we're going to have to do a little bit better as far as yardage. Again, I do love this, how we bend but don't break. We ended up making them really kick some crucial field goals at the end instead of scoring touchdowns. Todd Gurley mentioned 16 carries, 127 and a half a carry. I mean, I tweeted out at one point, but basically hashtag feed Gurley. And when he's pulling off 7.5 a run, I know we're working in a mix of the pass and the throw, and you're playing to the way the game opens up for you, but I would have loved to see Todd Gurley get maybe 5 or 6 more carries, get him up over the 20 mark, maybe into that 25 mark, especially when we're blocking so well for him. Opens up that play-action pass even more. But Sean McVay, I can't really get too mad at him. He just does all these great ways, and Tony Romo was talking about it. He'll have the same formation, and he can run 10 different plays off of that. And you could see some of the creative play calling where, you know, he's bringing motion to the left, and then they do a play action, and Higbee swings out to the left-hand side and blocks for him. And it's just people flying left and right, and all of a sudden Todd Gurley ends up being wide open out in the flat. And it's like, how do you lose Todd Gurley? Well, it's because of the play design and then moving people all over. You have to be... you have to keep an eye out for everyone, and all of a sudden you forget about the MVP candidate slipping out of the backfield.
It's beautiful, and you know, some part of me wants to talk about Mr. Jared Goff as his MVP candidate, because he continues to show up, 2 touchdowns again, 113 passer rating, and he just continues to stay consistent. So yeah, dude, I love the way that they take advantage of this offense. And you're right, I believe the number's 92%+ of the time we go out there with the same package, and the average for the rest of the NFL is more like 48% or so, that they keep that consistent. So it's awesome as how many tools we have on this offense that we still stick with the same guys. Of course, that's going to change with Cooper Kupp coming out, but you know, looking forward to next week. I'm expecting a major shootout between the two teams.
Yeah, definitely. Jared Goff now 3rd in overall passing at 2,800 yards. Patrick Mahomes is at top at 29, so only 100 yards above us, basically, is where first place is. And if he continues to play this way, you're right, James, he can very much talk himself into being in the conversation if we keep winning. And we'll see what happens next week when they show down with, you know, potentially 3 MVP candidates in one game down in Mexico City. Oof. And we'll talk about that later in the week. We'll talk about it on Rams Podcast, but I saw an article that I showed you today that said the field conditions are starting to be a little bit of worry down in Mexico City. So high-powered offenses slipping and sliding all over the place. You know, we got Cooper Kupp that just had an injury. That's a little scary moving forward as well.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say with these crappy fields. I'm worried about injuries happening because our team, for the most part, has been somewhat healthy. You don't think about Talib, and then obviously Cooper Kupp with multiple injuries now. And then even Marcus Peters earlier on with his minor injury that some think may be lingering, but he completely doubts it. Before we talk about next week at all, but I want to also mention this division, because we were kind of talking about this watching the Sunday night game right here, and our division is just crazy weak right now. But the cool stat that I saw on Twitter today was, in the Sean McVay era, we've only lost 2 divisional games.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it was 2017 versus Seattle. we had five turnovers, totally messed up there. And then 2017 in San Francisco when we didn't have any starters playing.
Yeah.
So Sean McVay is dominating the NFC West.
Dominating. Yeah, the two losses are kind of a five turnover game, which you should lose. And we lost it on a Cooper Kupp drop touchdown.
Ugh.
And then obviously that game where we didn't have any starters. So Sean McVay is compiling lots of awesome stats. He didn't win the time of possession battle this game, but it didn't matter. We won the game anyways. What we're going to do, we're going to step aside, get some quick words from some sponsors. We'll be back. More of James Kroger, Bear Botter, Lockdown Rams, Victory Monday on the other side.
Woo!
Another one bites the dust.
All right, before we get into that next segment, I want to talk to you about one of our newest partners. Super excited about them. Metro Infinity, 820 Monrovia. They are the must-go-to place. James, I know you just got a truck, but I wish, you know, you got a baby on the way. We might need to get you into a brand new one. Stay locked on. They're going to get $100 off. They've got amazing deals going on right now. You've got to swing by their brand. Check out the amazing selection of new and used Infinities that are amazing, certified. They're the only dealer in California that is family-owned and has been in 25 years. They're the number one volume dealer in California. This is my favorite part about them. They are kind of over the old school car deal feel, where you know you feel pressure. You got to be there for you leaving mad, and then they come back and go, "Well, here's your deal." Trust me, you're not gonna get that here with these guys. The best thing I love is they'll take the deal to you if you're at work or you're at your house or you want to go out and get some sun and say, "Hey, meet me down at the park." They're gonna take the contract. They're gonna take the car. They're gonna bring it to you. They're going to let you do everything you need to get that signed right there. No problem. They got this. They are very professional, and they're all about you and the experience. So, obviously, without having to say it, but I'll say it, the Bear stamp of approval.
Hey, man, hassle-free is the way to be. That's the best possible way to buy a car, and that's the way you got to do it these days. So it's so exciting to hear that they're willing to take customers like that.
So if you're thinking about a new Infiniti or just even in the market for a brand new car, give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you won't regret it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Tell them Bear sent you. You get an extra $500 off. You're welcome. I'm good for something around here. $500? It's got to be the best deal we've ever had. Check them out. Big fans of them. metroinfinity.com. Promo code locked on.
Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust.
All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Victory Monday. We are 9-1. We are getting ready for the game of the year, basically, down in Mexico City. 9-1 versus 9-1. AFC versus NFC. Lots of stuff on the line. Obviously, we're looking around the NFL. We're seeing the Saints. They won again today. Keeping pace with us, so we've got to make sure that we keep pace in the win column. We've got James Kroger with us. We're breaking it all down. We're in the third segment, so you know what that means. We're going to start doing game balls, play action balls. We're going to talk it out. We're going to see who the heroes of this game were. James, I'll start with you. You're the guest. Walk me through your thoughts. Give me a game ball. Give me a play action ball. Do what you do best. Talk me through it.
All right, well, I think my game ball here is going to be pretty obvious, and I'm going to stick with the offensive side of the ball because I know a lot of people out there probably think that your boy AD is well-deserving of the game ball. But
right,
we need to
always
leave this open for
He's
a few
always
peeps.
In the running.
And, I was just really happy to continue to see Goff excel. He's looking amazing as far as overall stats for the NFL for quarterback. And, 318 yards. Two touchdowns, he's reliable, dude, and he can handle the pressure and can show off at home and do an amazing job. So I can't wait to see what he does next week against Kansas City. But my game ball has to go to my QB1, Mr. Jared Goff. And what are we doing, play action balls?
Yeah, unless it was really bad and you invented the bootleg ball, which is, you know, I think reserved for really, really poor performances. But, hey, you rock the mic, man. It's your ball.
All right, so maybe I should give my play-action ball to Floyd Mayweather because
he already
got two of them today.
Yeah.
So kind of, I'll do a halfsies. He's going to get one of them. But I will say I'm really not happy about the penalties this game. And Littleton and Sue both shared five penalties between the two of them.
Wow.
And so I'm going to give my play action ball to those two fellas. It's going to be a three-way split.
All right, and I love it. Floyd Mayweather, give him another ball since he already picked up two. I was really hoping when Brandon Cooks ran in there and gave him his touchdown ball that, you know, that was the go-ahead big-time touchdown.
Give and take.
That he gave his, and maybe he took the other one and, like, threw it away. But I guess you're, you know, a guy that's gone 50-0 that makes his money swinging his fist. Maybe just give him another ball and walk away. But you know what, Floyd Mayweather, you get another one. You get the play-action ball, you little chump. We're not big fans of Floyd over here, apparently. Okay, I like it. Great stuff. I'm going to start with my game ball, and you gave it to Jared Goff, and I know you can always make a case for Aaron Donald. He's just a disruptor. When you need a big play, he's right there. He's going to help free up guys like Fowler, who made a great play for us. The defense wins the game basically on a fourth down conversion. It's funny, as you look big picture, we won the game up in Seattle on going for it on fourth, and now we win it by stopping them on fourth down. Huge plays, but I'm going to have to go. You said Jared Goff. He threw two touchdowns, both to tight ends. So I'm going to have to go. Ooh. I gave him the partial game ball last week and said they did great. They've stepped it up even further. Five catches on five targets, two touchdowns. They really were what got our offense going as far as points go. They made big catch after big catch. Tyler Higbee had a couple back-to-back ones that were really good. And then also showed they could run after the catch as well. So the tight end work, we're going to need some help with Cooper Kupp out. Game ball goes to you boys. No half balls. No, honorable mention. You get my game balls. Play action ball. And this is tough because I'm really, really with you. You called out a couple guys, Sue and Littleton. I'm going to call it out on the special teams unit. They were a part of a couple of those penalties as well. So I'm going to go big picture. Penalties in general. Anybody that got a penalty, what'd you say, 9 penalties for close to 100 yards?
10 for 102.
That's unacceptable. McVay said it after the game. But that gets us back to the Jeff Fisher days of... Yeah. And they showed a graphic on the screen earlier in the game when they were trying to, like, give us props. And they said we're third in the NFL as far as penalties per game. And it was at, like, 4 or 5 a game. And then it was like right after that, like dumb foul, dumb foul, dumb foul. So
yeah,
we got to get back to, and you talked about this with Marcus Peters a lot, is fundamentals. We got to get back to the little stuff, and that's not hitting after the play. Not, you know, stopping on third down and then giving a penalty to give them a first down. 5 first downs off penalties like that. That's going to lose you a ball game against a really good team. Thank God this is the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, and they don't have all the pieces this year. But yeah, I'd have to say that as well. I'm going to agree with you. Penalties, man, that is definitely the play action ball.
And I don't know how many offsides we had offensively either. I mean, this offensive line typically is pretty good chemistry, and they're pretty right on. And I rarely see that happen. And I think we had 2 this game, maybe 3, but it might be 2. And they really hurt us.
Yeah, definitely. The little things that will win you or lose you a game, we saw it with the special teams. Happening in the playoffs when we struggled there and it ended up being the big sore spot. Well, a little shout out to JoJo Natsney. Had a couple really good catches under pressure and then also had some good returns to get us out of, you know, back against our
own. And he also made 2 Seahawks knock each other out almost.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was a crazy hit.
Yeah, there were a lot of crazy plays.
It was like a cartoon almost.
Yeah, there were a lot of crazy plays going on in this game. Anytime the Rams are in the game, there's high action, a lot of offense. So
I never would have thought I'd see Aaron Donald with those.
Yeah!
Slide running moves, dude. He looked like a pro. He looked like he'd been playing some backyard ball.
Dude, I was going to say, he looked like a basketball player. Hit him with the hesitation. Did a little jig, little Allen Iverson crossover move. I hope you guys got to see that as well. That was pretty awesome. It all ended up coming back with all the penalties again that happened in that play. And Aaron Donald getting chippy after he was hit late out of bounds and got to feel what it's like to be a running back and get taken out that way. But yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff that we kind of caught on camera throughout the game. And one another one was Todd Gurley and his little smirk right near the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that was right before we...
He looked cool, calm, and relaxed.
Yeah,
and you and I were stressing out. Yeah. He's like, this is fun.
He did. He kind of like... He hit over a smirk like he knew it was going to happen. Like, we got this.
Somebody's
got
to capture that on a GIF or on Twitter.
That was a good one. So lots of great GIFs that came out of this game. Really appreciate that, guys. I love it. James, we're going to talk more about this and this coming week because it's a big one. I get on a plane on Friday. I'm so excited. I can't wait. It's lining up to be the game of the year. We're going to break that down more on Rams Podcast. So, guys, go check that out in a couple days when we drop that. James, I appreciate it. Thank you for welcoming into your home and doing this down here at Rams Podcast Studio. But you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time,
peace.
Another one bites the dust. Hey, we're gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.